Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of Podcast vs. Enemies, a Destiny Massive Breakdown show. This week, we are diving into all the new and returning playlist weapons for Season 17, breaking down their perk combinations, and seeing what really has some potential. Before we get into all of that, let's take just a moment to thank the supporters of the show.
Hello, Saint. Hello, Impetus. Hope you are both well. We actually don't have any reviews. We don't have much really direct community feedback this week. Our very own Saint here did put up a poll, which will have already ended by this episode's by the time this episode came out. But if you do have any comments, please let us know. It's just to gauge the sort of trajectory of our podcast here, just what you would like to hear more or hear less on the show. We did have some great feedback, whether that was on Saint's Twitter or through the Massive Breakdowns Discord server. Just some topics we may or may not cover in the future, but just to kind of put it out there, we had sort of a sleeper or sort of go-to weapon or roles that are out there that we don't necessarily talk about. Our dream perk combo that doesn't necessarily exist at the moment. Slept on weapons, strong pair season, you know, just kind of covering the sort of seasonal meta. Community questions as well, just questions from you, the listener. Breakdown / review of underperforming exotics, whether that's armor or weapons, and off meta builds. So maybe not so much for this season, because swords have been, you've got a little kind of a resurgence, especially for the dungeon, but in general, just, you know, off meta builds for swords, grenade launchers, any weapons that aren't getting a lot of love here, and even like sandbox mods such as Warmind cells. So those sort of topics we may cover in the future, and of course, just keep it all coming in. Just as a reminder, you can, of course, send us all kinds of feedback and reviews directly to any of our socials or via the Destiny Massive Breakdowns Discord server. All kinds of feedback really help with the trajectory of the podcast and how we present and explain breakdowns, builds, and discuss the PvE sandbox for both the established and new Destiny player. We also, of course, want to extend our special thanks and appreciation to everyone that supports PvE, whether that's downloading and listening to our show, discussing it in the Discord server, or supporting us via the Patreon. All right, let's hear from Impetus, who's going to give us our show outline.
Well, fellas, we have some weapons to break down. These are our playlist weapons for this season. That's going to be the Crucible Trials and Iron Banner weapons, Vanguard and Nightfall, and, of course, our new Gambit weapon. Lots to cover, a lot of fun combos and perks to go over. I want to briefly touch on some housekeeping, some corrections or highlights, clarifications that have come up from previous episodes. So I want to again remind you all that we are making builds for all variety of PvE activities, and you can find those builds in a new spot now. So over on the Massive Breakdowns Discord server, we have made a thread that is called Theory Crafting and Builds. It's branched out from our podcast discussion text channel. So in order to see that, you can click on the redirect link within the pinned message in podcast discussion. All of our builds will be pinned in that thread channel, and you are also able to share yours there as well for comments and feedback. So if you do not use Discord, don't worry about that. You can hit us up on any of our socials, and we will be able to share our current builds with you. Just as a reminder, Court makes a lot of Hunter builds, Saint makes a bunch of Titan builds, and I make a bunch of Warlock builds. So we will direct you to the appropriate person if you are looking for a class-specific build for any kind of in-game PvE activity. So with that being said, let's move on to our What Did You Do in Destiny 2 last week? I'll start things off. I did a Vow of the Disciple raid and got very lucky with some RNG. I got my last two red-bordered submission SMGs, so I was able to craft that finally. I love the feel and look of that gun, and once I get it appropriately leveled up in the next few weeks, I think I will finally be saying goodbye to my Extraordinary Rendition, which has been my kinetic SMG of choice for so long, since it came out really in Season of the Chosen.
Served you well, you know?
It's a great, great SMG, but submission is even better. So that's been really fun. And then the other thing I've been doing is farming. A lot of farming. Last night, my clan did some Vex Mythoclast Atheon farming for some people who didn't have that exotic yet. We did about 50 clears. We had two full raid teams going at the same time. only had one person get a drop for the first time. Really, really bad RNG, but we were having a good time, having some fun, one phase in Atheon. So that's been really fun now that we have the raid rotation in place to go and get those raid exotics that have been so elusive for a lot of folks. And then the last thing I was farming was Master Duality. Started doing that now that I'm at an appropriate light level. So getting a bit of Artifice Armor on my other two classes. So that's been fun. Court, how about yourself? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I've actually been doing some just some normal duality farming. Again, I think I shouted out last episode, but shout out again to Bryce and Phaeton. Specifically Bryce, because he got his... He got a few fixed odds. Fixed odds is obviously the machine gun that drops within the raid, but it's not an actual raid weapon. It's an opulent weapon. But yeah, he got last count was 10, and we did about 7-8 Kaito runs there. And yeah, it's maybe for a topic in the future, but certainly it raises some questions related to RNG and. Where are you supposed to get those red box Epicureans and fixed odds? Who knows? Anyway, besides that, I actually managed to craft my Callus mini tool. I am probably going to go for that Grave Robber and Incandescent roll for my Throwing Knives Hunter builds. Much to the dismay of Saint here, who is still after his last one.
I don't want to talk about it.
I've also been slowly leveling up to that, of course, magic number for Grandmasters. There's still a few weeks out from the time we record this, but slowly leveling up there. It's not as serious as, say, Season 16 or past seasons. And, of course, I did make a big spreadsheet / personal announcement very recently related to my specific role within my own spreadsheets. I am... rolling back a little bit of work with the announcement from Destiny Item Manager, Dim, is going to incorporate a lot of the community resource research, whether that's from my or other spreadsheets out there. I've decided to sort of cut a little bit of future work for me because it's, you know, gets to those seasonal and major sandbox updates and it gets, heads down for a week, 2 weeks, working out all these specifics and damage perks, and it's a lot of work. But I'm handing that off to a lot more other people out there that can do that on more of a free time, full time basis. But that's not the end of my spreadsheets. It's definitely not the end. I'm just really cutting back on damage modifiers, and I'll be focusing on stacking guide, combatant guide, champion guides, that sort of stuff. And I do plan on making some big fancy infographics in the future as well. Before that happens, I am going to be taking a little bit of a break on holiday. I'm taking a little bit of a tour around the Scottish Highlands, just very close to where I am just now, and just taking a little break at the end of July. So you probably won't hear me, maybe one or two episodes during that time. And it's very busy this week because I also got another shout out from Fallout Plays, who shouted out my specifically to do with the Radiant stacking with empowering buffs, tier 1 empowering buffs, 25% and 20% to give you 50% damage increase. So he sent me a few messages, worked together just to get some finer details done, and he recently put up that video to do with the, speaking of farming dungeons. I do want to, of course, return the shout out. Make sure to go follow Fallout Place. Really cool guy, really chill, and really great mindset when it comes to science within Destiny as well. Saint, what have you been up to?
I have not been crafting a mini tool because I'm busy getting my 9th Red Border Sniper Rifle, but... that's another here nor there. I have been getting some good drops in the game. I can't knock it entirely. Some nice base 24 stat resilience pieces from the dungeon, which is music to my ears. Yeah. So some good things, some bad. I've also been working on some YouTube videos, which is kind of a new thing for me. I put out a couple. The I want to highlight Burn the World, because I know that I mentioned that a few times on the show, and using Consecration and just trying to get the most out of that ability. So just spent some time this past week working on YouTube videos for the first time, and that was a lot of fun. So if you want to hear me talk more about Burn the World and all that, like, really in depth, and Consecration and how to get the most out of that, make sure to go check that video out. You know, that's been about it, though. You know, like, you guys farming duality, just trying to get my pinnacles, last couple of 70 pieces I need for my characters and things like that. Overall, pretty good. Just kind of taking an easy week this week, as I've got some more just personal stuff going on, trying to manage in life. So with all that said, let's get into some weapons.
Yeah, I'll start us off here. So we are doing playlist weapons, a breakdown of the new ones. Again, Nightfalls, Vanguard Ops, Trials, Crucible, Gambit, and Iron Banner. We will start with our PvP side of things. I do just want to say right at the front here that these playlist weapons are not craftable. Gambit, Iron Banner, and Trials of Osiris weapons can be focused at their respective vendors. So for Gambit, that would be the Drifter. Iron Banner is Saladin, and Trials of Osiris is Saint 14. With playlist engrams that you get from leveling up the reputation tracks for each of those vendors. So that is how you can specify but not quite craft these specific weapons. Additionally, a change was made at the start of this season. Playlist weapons now have a chance to drop with extra perks in columns 3 and 4, depending on the number of rank resets with that vendor. And you can have up to 3 perks in each of those columns. You might have already seen some screenshots from content creators who have been getting some pretty nutty drops. So that should make your chances of getting the combos that you want a little bit easier. Again, many of these weapons have pretty large perk pools, so it can feel a little daunting to try and get a specific combo. But the more you keep playing in the core playlist, Vanguard Ops, Crucible, and Gambit, the more resets you do in those, the chances of getting specific rolls that you're looking for on those weapons will be higher and higher. So with that being said, let's hop into Crucible. We've got a new fusion rifle, a stasis fusion rifle, dropping this season. This is the Riptide. Remember, these all have origin traits now, so we will be covering those. The Crucible origin trait is One Quiet Moment. It reads, grants increased reload speed when out of combat. That is a plus 40 to your reload stat while out of combat, and that does work everywhere. So that's a very nice origin trait, especially on weapons that have a naturally low reload speed. That can be very helpful. So Riptide, what is it? It is a stasis rapid-fire fusion rifle. That is a base 500 charge time. The frame bonus for rapid fires reads deeper ammo reserves, and you get a slightly faster reload when your magazine is empty. When we talk about its stats versus archetype peers, we do need to remember it's a stasis fusion rifle, so it does not have a lot of competition in slot. It is the only rapid-fire stasis that we have right now. But when we look at the rapid-fires in the energy slot, we have quite a few. Null Composure is kind of our ritual void rapid-fire fusion rifle from Season of the Splicer. That is better in every stat compared to Riptide, and that has a fixed role, of course. We do also have another void rapid-fire fusion rifle that came out in Witch Queen. That is Likely Suspect. You can craft that. Statistically, that one does have slightly better reload and aim assist by 1 point, so very close. And then probably the other one that you're most familiar with is going to be the Solar Rapid-Fire Fusion Rifle. That would be Cartesian Coordinate. Statistically, that has 5 less stability than Riptide, but 29 more aim assist points. It is quite a magnet, which is what made it so strong when it debuted. So again, stats for Riptide aren't incredibly competitive, but rapid-fire fusion rifles in PvE are very, very strong for burst damage, because you can get a lot of shots off quite quickly, and they're very strong against major mini-boss and boss enemies, especially when we have a champion mod for fusion rifles. So again, being a stasis weapon, this is in a completely different slot, so you can free up your energy slot to use a primary weapon for shield popping if that's what you choose to do. When we look at our barrels, mags, and perks, this is where things get a little interesting. For the barrels, you do have something to be aware of, at least, is the recoil direction. At base, it's going to be 53. So if that is too low for you, you can absolutely look for arrowhead break. Jump that all the way up to 83. If that's still not high enough for you, you can throw on counterbalance mod. It really kind of comes down to your personal preference. What I'm looking for right now are going to be fluted barrel and maybe... Yeah, I think fluted barrel, probably polygonal if the stability is a little too low for you. At base, it's 31, so you can bump that up if you'd like. Small bores also there, that's an excellent option. One thing to know about fusion rifles is that the range stat is heavily compressed, so I would not recommend specking into range. You're going to get very, very minor returns here. So, for example, Hammerforge rifling, that's 10 points of range. That only adds 0.3 meters of range. So it's a very, very small benefit. I think you're better off going with handling stability, recoil direction for your barrels, and masterwork. Those are going to be something that you're probably going to notice more of an effect. When we look at the magazine options, accelerated coils is going to give you an increase in damage, so that's going to be great. However, this does have a few perk combos on here that you might want to look at. Enhanced battery. That will take your magazine up from 7 to 8. That is the cap. You cannot go higher than that. If you have enhanced battery and backup mag, you're still at 8. So just be aware of that. Enhanced battery will be useful for a perk combo that I'll talk about in just a moment. This does have 12 perks in columns 3 and 4, and it is, again, you can get a couple of crucible resets under your belt. You might have chances of getting extra perks in those columns, but there are a lot of excellent PvE perks in columns 3 and 4. So looking at column 3, the big ones that I'm going to look at right away, auto-loading holster, extremely easy to use, very helpful. Lead from gold, this was also on Cartesian coordinate. A lot of people use that for their PvE role of that. Last year in Destiny. We've also got Feeding Frenzy, Compulsive Reloader, Field Prep, Perpetual Motion, and Heating Up. Now, I include Heating Up because if you are having trouble with the recoil direction and you don't get arrowhead break, this can be a nice backup option. So don't discount that right away. Again, if you're trying to use this to quickly burst down a boss, you want to make sure that as many bolts are hitting as possible. So that recoil direction can be very nice for getting that up and down spread against your enemies. Moving on to column 4, again, a lot of great options here. We've got Golden Tricorn, that's going to be very helpful if you're running a stasis build. Chill Clip, very interesting. And then we have Frenzy and Vorpal Weapon. So when we think about perk combinations, the one that kind of sticks out to me is the Cartesian coordinate combo, but cold, which would be Lead from Gold or Auto-Loading Holster and Vorpal Weapon. Cartesian didn't get Auto-Loading Holster, but it did get Lead from Gold, so you could definitely go that route. The other build combo that I'm looking at here would be a freezing one, and that would be either auto-loading holster, field prep, or a compulsive reloader with Chill Clip. Chill Clip is very useful, especially when you're using this against major mini-boss or boss targets for slowing them and then freezing them. It's going to be two bursts to freeze them entirely. The first one will slow, and then the second one will freeze, so that can be very helpful. Also very helpful if you're getting swarmed by melee enemies, like if you get a bunch of Thrall or Warbeast charging you. Hitting them all with different Chill Clip bolts can be very nice, give you some time to back up and get away from them and then deal with them at a safe distance. So a lot of different options here. Really, really, really strong PvE option for a Crucible playlist weapon. Definitely pick up a bunch of different rolls of Riptide next time Iron Banner comes around or we get a double Crucible rep week. That's going to be a really strong option. And next season, hopefully, you will have the ability to focus it if Crucible gets the Ingram focusing option that Gambit, Iron Banner, and Trials have. So definitely pick up a Riptide. Great weapon. Sounds great when you fire it. I love the sound of it so much. We're going to move on to Trials now, and we're going to talk about yet another Stasis Fusion Rifle. This is going to be Burden of Guilt. This is not craftable. It is an adaptive frame. That's a 660 base charge time fusion rifle. The frame bonus, it's not really a bonus. It's just a description, a well-rounded grip. There's no statistical bonuses there. This also has, in addition to the One Quiet Moment origin trait, the Alacrity origin trait. That's our Trials origin trait. That states you gain increased reload stability, aim assist, and range when you are the last living member of your fire team or running solo. And the running solo part is probably what's going to apply a lot in PvE if you're using a Trials weapon, say, in a high-level loss sector. If you're trying to get new exotic armor, this will always be proc'd because you're going to be solo trying to get that new stuff. So Alacrity, great in PvP, also great in PvE. The technical stats there, you get a plus 20 reload, plus 20 stability, plus 10 aim assist, and a plus 10 range. So very useful on a bunch of different weapons. You get a bunch of different benefits. Again, as we've already stated, the plus 10 range, not going to be a huge effect on a fusion rifle, but the aim assist, the stability, and the reload is definitely going to be helpful on Burden of Guilt, as it does have quite low stats in that department. So when we look at its archetype peers, again, Stasis, so it's in its own slot compared to a lot of its peers. Dreambreaker has worse stats in every category. That is the Moon Fusion Rifle. That one you can farm. That's probably the easiest one to get out of these adaptive fusion rifles. Trinary System is the Gambit one. That one has higher stability, handling, reload, and aim assist, but it's only within about a margin of 5 points on each of those. Timelines Vertex, same situation, higher stability, handling, reload, and aim assist. Not very competitive in the stat department for Burden of Guilt. But again, it's a Stasis one, so it's in a separate slot. It frees up your energy slot for a primary weapon, which can be very helpful. Looking at barrels and magazines, Arrowhead Break if you need it. Again, for base, we are looking at 55 recoil direction. So that is up and down because it ends in a 5, but it is a 55. So if you're having trouble with that, get Arrowhead Break. That takes you up to 85. Counterbalance will, of course, take you up to 70 with a Arrowhead on top. That's perfectly 100. So something to be aware of. When we look at magazines, again, it's going to be the same situation as it was for Riptide. Accelerated coils for the extra damage, enhanced battery for one extra shot. When we look at columns 3 and 4, there's some interesting things here that I want to point out. We've got perpetual motion. We've got stats for all. Those have showed up on other fusion rifles before. That's not new. What is new in column 3 is elemental capacitor. Now, this has typically been thought of as a PvP perk, and that's mostly because it shows up in column 4 next to a lot of damage perks. And of course, we here at Podcast Versus Enemies love our damage perks, so we typically will recommend those over any utility perks that show up in column 4. However, this time we have our utility perk in column 3, and we can pair it with the damage perk in column 4. Now, elemental capacitor is a very good utility perk, and you will get a huge boost to various stats depending on your subclass. So as a reminder, if you are running a solar subclass, you will get plus 50 reload speed. If you are running an arc subclass, you will get plus 50 handling. If you are running a void subclass, you get plus 20 stability. And if you are running stasis, you will get plus 20 to your recoil direction. So that will be very helpful there. That is in column 3. So I'm actually going to recommend that for you trials players out there. If you're going for a PvE role for that, that could be very useful depending on what you want to run this with. So if you're on solar, for example, that will crank your reload speed all the way up to 80, which would be very helpful there. If you want to run this on, say, Arc for Arc 3.0, get that handling up there, make it feel nice and snappy. I think that's another really great option. Again, this is a stasis weapon, so if you want to tie into stasis synergy, get some mod elemental well synergies when you get kills with this weapon, that will get that recoil direction nice and high. So a lot of benefits here, and when we look at the damage perks that we can pair with Burden of Guilt, we've got some pretty solid options. So again, we've got Chill Clip again. That's going to be a really great one for slowing and freezing enemies. We've also got Vorpal Weapon, so you can use this to melt bosses. It's going to fire slower than Riptide, right? So the burst capacity, the ability to quickly dispatch a high health target isn't going to be there in the same way, but it does hit harder than Riptide per shot. So there's a trade-off there. Again, if you are running Vorpal Weapon to deal with those high health enemies, you're going to want to have accelerated coils for the extra damage there. That's going to make that really nice. There's also High Impact Reserves and Swashbuckler. Those are fine options. We've had those on other fusion rifles, so I don't see those really as unique to Burden of Guilt. For me, Chill Clip, Vorpal Weapon, Elemental Capacitor, those are the standouts. Those are the ones that I would really want to go look for if I'm going into trials, whenever Burden of Guilt drops as the featured weapon for trials. So I'm going to pass you off to Saint now for the other trials weapon.
Yeah, on the other side in the trials pool this season, we have a sidearm. Forgiveness. This is a arc aggressive sidearm. It's firing that hard hitting 2 burst, which is its frame bonus, and the RPM is 325 rounds per minute. This also has the alacrity trait. I'm not going to go into all the details of that, as Impetus just covered, but again, really solid trait if you are going to be using this in PvE. You could use this for lost sectors, but unfortunately, anti-barrier sidearm is disabled at the moment. But if that comes back on, this could be interesting. It's definitely better than some of the other options in its category. It's better than empirical evidence in just about every way. Brass attacks is worse and everything except for reload speed. So coming out of the gate here with a very strong stat package, but it's still a sidearm. So it is strong for what it is. But as you know, we are not the biggest fans of sidearms here on Podcast Versus Enemies. But as far as sidearms go, it's a pretty well-built one. Also worth mentioning that it has a 90 aim assist, which is absurdly high for any kind of primary weapon or any weapon in general, honestly. Always great to have a nice standout stat like that. And when we get into the barrels and mags, on barrel side, you know, I'm probably going for stability, right? We got fluted and small bore and polygonal rifling for some just help in kind of managing that burst. If you are used to using a sidearm, what is the name of that sidearm that was retired from way back in season of the time dial and all of that? Breachlight. Yeah. So this is the same archetype. So if you're used to using that, this is what this is going to feel like. Which again, it can kick pretty hard. So that extra stability is always nice. On the mag side, any of our mag perks, armor piercing, high cal or ricochet rounds are all very good. All the rounds perks, I should say. And then finally, flared, if you want to go for a bit of a faster reload speed. It does have a base of 24 reload, which is pretty low, so flared would also be a nice addition there. When we get into our main traits here, it is definitely has some more PvP-focused perks. If we're going through the main, you know, you got Killing Wind and Moving Target and some things like that that are definitely more onto the PvP side, but there are also some decent PvE options. Calm 3 has both Demolitionist and Subsistence. Subsistence isn't really crazy, but a third column demo is hard to come by and is always nice to see on a primary like this. And then in the fourth column, we of course have the jelly to Demolitionist peanut butter, which is Adrenaline Junkie. You also have multi-kill clip in that final column, or Harmony, but, you know, not really huge fans of those perks, especially when I'm using a sidearm. I want to be getting some kind of really nice consistent damage buff, and I'm just not really a big fan of multi-kill clip in PvE, but Harmony is an interesting option. The reload is definitely going to be your go-to masterwork. Again, that's pretty low, and you know, pumping up your range or something like that is just not going to have any kind of meaningful impact. So putting something into that reload speed or maybe the stability is going to be really nice. And then as far as our actual build goes, I'm definitely going to be looking for that demo and Adrenaline Junkie for the ARC 3.0 build. If you're going to be using a sidearm in PvE next season, this is your one. So get in there. Hopefully play some decently balanced matches of Trials of Osiris and not want to put your head through a wall, and you could come out with a pretty good PvE sidearm, dare I say. Speaking of fusions, though, we're not done. We got more.
Yeah, we do. This season's brought in a lot of it's brought in a lot of fusion rifles. We are covering next the Wizen Rebuke. This is an Iron Banner weapon. It's one of two, which we've seen previously in Destiny's lifespan. I'll just quickly go over the origin perk for Iron Banner. It's called Skulking Wolf. The text reads here, during the hunt, final blows with this weapon grants enhanced radar and removes you from the opposing radar. It's pretty self-explanatory there. Only works in Iron Banner, so it's going to have has nothing to do with PvE. It's a wasted
a full 2 weeks a season. Yeah. You can use your origin trait.
The next weapon I'll be covering does have an additional origin trait here, but unfortunately the Wizen Rebuke does not. So what are we looking at here? It is a, of course, it's not craftable, but can be focused with Iron Banner engrams. It is an arc high impact fusion rifle, so base of 960 charge time. Frame bonus is slow firing and high damage. This weapon is more accurate when stationary and aiming down sights. Its main competitor here, which is also a PvP fusion rifle, which has been removed from the loot pool and is now just up in the ether, is the old Exile's Curse. That was also ARC. We'll also be comparing it with Glacial Chasm and Iota Draconis, very satisfying name to roll off the tongue there. Exile's Curse, Glacial Chasm, at the moment are unobtainable. Glacial Chasm may return in the future when it comes to the Dawning event. So those two are just here as a comparison's sake here. But our main comparison here is Iota Draconis, which is the solar high-impact fusion rifle. It's only drops during Xur's weekend visit to one of our planetary systems. And I'm going to be honest, like, Iota Draconis, I feel like has much more appetizing perks compared to Wise and Rebuke. Wise and Rebuke definitely has a sort of more focus towards PvP than PvE. In terms of stats comparison with each other, Wise and Rebuke generally has the best overall stat spread versus the rest. Glacial Chasm's the best one out of the lot here. It does have Wise and Rebuke does have a sort of quite a weak recoil pattern, but we're going to really like take some perks and really build up its role here. Again, it's very weak in PvE, so this is very niche build that I'll be talking about in a few moments. We're looking at some really interesting comparisons with the rest of the other fusion rifles. Unfortunately, they're not accessible. Again, the odd one out here being Iota Draconis. So let's look at some barrels and mags here. Again, I think we're always going to sort of recommend Arrowhead Break just to really bump up the recoil and handling, especially to tighten up the bolt spread, and for magazine enhanced battery to bring up the log magazine, because it does roll at a base 5, which is the same for the other high impacts. We could also use accelerated coils just to maximize the damage potential and also to slightly speed up the charge time. In terms of column 3 perks, again, it's really, really picking at the barrel here. We have well-rounded, we've got heating up, and we've got subsistence. For column 4, we also have Vorpal Weapon, but we do have a very interesting perk, and that is successful warm-up. None of the other high impacts, just because this is a fairly brand new perk for this year, has successful warm-up. So I'm going to pair that with one of our builds here. Comes to Masterwork, I'm going for stability, and for weapon mod, we're going to go for either backup mag or counterbalance stock. But for another build I'll also recommend, I'm going to go for major or boss spec for single target damage. So build one here, I'm looking at subsistence or heating up plus successful warm-up. So this is going to be more of an auxiliary slash support style bulky ad clear. Successful warm-up does not decrease the damage, and it does speed up your charge time to be it's roughly 37.5%, and that is a 6-second duration. But as long as you're killing ads, it's like kind of a pseudo-rampage perk, it does add duration up to a max of 20 seconds. So you can have that just over a third faster charge time for 20 seconds. And if you have enough ads to kill, infinitely. So that would be your sort of, you know, your bulky ads just to really tear down a bunch of trash ads in the play space. The second build here is more curated towards single target, well-rounded and Vorpal. Well-rounded isn't necessarily a perk I would normally recommend in PvE, but there's no other viable options that you could use. But just to build into sort of never miss any bolts, you could use this as a second option. Using your grenade or hitting an enemy with a charge melee grants plus 10 range, stability, and handling per stack, which lasts for 10 seconds. And super ability grants 2 stacks. That is the well-rounded perk. So you've got 2 builds there. I think I would probably go for the first build. Subsistence does have some really good synergy with this successful warm up. I think speeding up a high impact frame without losing any damage is quite appealing. High impacts aren't necessarily the best. They're not in the best meta for PvE right now, and you can tell with how accessible we have with high impacts right now. This is only really the best weapon that you can get in this archetype, and even that you can only really get it twice a season. So high impact frames for fusion rifles are quite a rare breed. Next up we have the Hero's Burden. Now this also rolls with Skulking Wolf, but does also roll with Suro's Synergy. This reads as reloading grants this weapon bonus handling and reduces incoming flinch for a short time. So this would be a lot more viable for PvE. For the technical stats for that, that's plus 36 handling, plus 20% flinch resistance, and the duration is 6 seconds. So we have Hero's Burden. Again, it's not craftable, but you can focus it. It is a void adaptive frame. That is 900 RPM. This is a little bit of an interesting one because normally 900 RPMs are the lightweight SMGs. So we don't really have anything, you know, it doesn't have any peers it can compare itself with. You could pair it with or compare it with the lightweight frames, but that might not be too fair. It is up against some really strong and I would say much more suitable PvE weapons like Submission, that is a kinetic SMG from the raid, Vow of the Disciple. We have Funnel Web, which I think is one of the top tier weapons, not just SMGs, but top tier weapons overall for this year. It is a Witch Queen Season 16 to 19 world loot drop. And we also have the previous SMG, which is the Multimax CCX, which again is a kinetic. So Hero's Burden does have some good range and impact versus lightweights, but it has much better reload as well. Although its other stats really are pretty average stability versus lightweights, and lightweights do intrinsically, due to the frame, have superb handling. It also does have less magazine and inventory size than lightweight. So again, it's not a really fair comparison to compare it with another 900 RPM, but different archetype here. In terms of builds here, I've not listed any barrels of mags here. You really want to go for anything that you prefer. Extended mag might be a good one. Appended mag. High cal rounds can, you know, just to kind of stagger those enemies. Really up to you what you want for an SMG. It's really not something I would really recommend. For column 3 and 4, for column 3 here, we've got Feeding Frenzy, which is really the only viable perk for PvE. You could argue Zen Moment, but that doesn't really have much of a draw for keyboard and mouse players. There's really not much of a benefit there. I did recommend Well-Rounded for the last for the fusion rifle. That could be an option, but it's really struggling here for PvE perks. For column 4, it's a little bit better. We do have Kill Clip here. We've got Vorpal Weapon, and we have the new Repulsor Brace, which is the Season 17 Void Synergy perk that we have discussed in previous episodes. That's where you apply a Void debuff on the enemy, whether that's a Weaken, Suppression, or Volatile, and you get an Overshield back. It's more kind of curated towards Warlocks and Hunters, as Titans have better synergy with the Overshields. So that could be a perk if you want to use that. However, I think there's much better perks. There is a much better weapon with Repulsor Brace, and that comes from the dungeon. That is the, let's see here, we've got the Unforgiven. It's a different frame. It's a completely different frame. That is an aggressive frame. But I think Unforgiven has a much more appealing void-centric weapon. If you're not getting your funnel webs, you can definitely more specifically farm for Unforgiven. But we're not talking about Unforgiven. We've spoke about that in a previous episode. What build are we going here, though? Masterwork and weapon mod? Again, personal preference. For a specific build, I'm looking at Feeding Frenzy and Killclip. That's your best synergy here. Feeding Frenzy, getting as many kills as you can to then reload into the Killclip to get that damage that damage bump for a few seconds, and then just, you know, rinse and repeat. This is quite a disappointing weapon, if I'm going to be honest, if that's not been the general vibe that I've been kind of going on about this. These two Iron Baron weapons, I think Wizen Rebuke's got a little bit more of a case for PvE, but Hero's Burden, it's just up against way too many competitors, and we're not a PvP podcast.
Good luck at dethroning Funnel Web.
Exactly,
Yeah, good luck.
As an additional build, you could say Repulsor Brace, as I said, but I'm going to recommend Unforgiven for anything related to Repulsor Brace.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to pass you back to Saint, who may be a little bit more positive with the next weapon.
Yeah, now this is a weapon that I actually went out and farmed for a few weeks ago, and I have been enjoying. That is the DFA, aka Death From Above, and that is an old Nightfall weapon that has been brought back to the game. It is a kinetic 140 RPM, that reliable and sturdy, built like a solid piece of furniture. Not really much else to say there. It doesn't really give any buffs. And it can also roll with stunning recovery, or can get stunning recovery, because it is a Nightfall weapon, which is an excellent perk. Just for a quick recap on that, when you stun the champ, it will partially refill your mag, as well as give you a 60 points bump to your health, and a 40 points to your recovery for a few seconds after that. This, I'll be honest to say that I was surprised to see this come back as a kinetic weapon, and I thought that this may be a stasis weapon just because of how stiff the competition is for a kinetic 140 RPM hand cannon. The elephant in the room is Fatebringer, and it's really hard to just compete against Fatebringer because of its third column perks are insane, its base stats are insane, its fourth column perks are insane. But this weapon does have some things to offer, and I, you know, one of them being stunning recovery. And I also want to bring up Judgment. You know, Judgment is the old Trials in the Nine Hand Cannon that was brought back in the Prophecy Dungeon. And I think this is a much more comparable to Judgment when we look at it like that. And the reason I bring that up is because Judgment is also one of the other few weapons that has access to some similar perks, like Time Payload, that DFA does, which is a personal favorite of mine. So when we compare the stat package of DFA to Judgment and Fatebringer, you know, Fatebringer is just dominant. It beats out the other hand cannons in almost every single stat category, but there are a few things where it's relatively competitive, and it can beat out Judgment for some potential roles there if you don't want to be going back to farm that very first boss in the Prophecy Dungeon. So the range is all within a point for the three of them, but whenever we start to look at stability, you've got 54 points on DFA and only 42 on Judgment, and then 57 on Fatebringer, so much more comparable. 42 handling, which is the same for Judgment, and then Fatebringer beats that out with a 55. DFA has 77 aim assist, which is pretty high. Judgment underneath that at 75, and then Fatebringer cranking it out at 84. So maybe not beating out Fatebringer, but it can beat out some of the competition in the 140 kinetic slot, which is tough to do these days. For the barrels and mags, I probably recommend something like Chambered Compensator for the little bit of bump to recoil direction. You could pump up on range, but if you are using explosive payload, you need to keep in mind that 55% of your damage is going to have, not only is it going to be, you know, your damage is divided up 45-55, but it is also going to have zero damage fall off on that. So when you have 50% of your damage that hits maximum drop-off floor, you still have more, you know, or whatever. The other half of your damage has zero range drop-off. So it only has a base 45 range, which isn't crazy, but I'm not really going to be specking into that because of kind of Time Payload being the star perk of the role here. So range is interesting, but it's not huge here. Would definitely recommend, Courtier small bore chamber compensator just for pumping up that recoil direction, which is a base 88. It's pretty good. You can pump it up to 98 if you'd like. On the magazine size, I am absolutely going to recommend that you run tack or appended, or that's definitely what I'm going after. The DFA only has a base of 9 rounds in the mag, which is a bit low, especially considering I believe Fatebringer is a base of 11. So not great on that, but is the same as Judgment. So throwing on a tack mag for a little bit of stability and an extra shot, the mag will bring that up to 10, or appended will also, I believe, bring that up to 11. So definitely look for putting some extra bullets in your mag. Tack is probably going to be the perk of choice here, just because it gives that extra 10 to reload and stability as well. On like kind of our main traits here, the third column does offer some new things. We have perpetual motion, triple tap, and outlaw, which I all think are interesting options. And then in the fourth column, we have time payload, as well as, you have Vorpal and Rampage and Wellspring, but that's just not really interesting. It doesn't really stand out. You know, I'm after this gun because basically it can roll perpetual motion and time payload, and you can't get that somewhere else. And that's really what I'm looking for. You know, when we talk about these weapons that are coming back, what's standing out? I mean, that's what we're all looking for, right? What's going to be standing out on this gun versus its competition? And those two perks just have a crazy amount of uptime. And to just go back and recap on perpetual motion real quick, you're getting 5 points to stability, handling, and reload for one stack, and 15 points for two stacks. So the just general feel and stat bonuses that you're getting from perpetual motion, plus that 12 to 16% constant damage buff, depending on hit, crit, or body shot, enemy type, and things like that from timed payload, it's just a fantastic feeling hand cannon. It's got, good stability, good handling, good reload speed, a nice damage perk that's constantly up. It's not, at the end of the day, going to beat out a Frenzy Explosive Payload Fatebringer just because it can't. But this thing can roll Stunning Recovery, and I think is going to be an awesome option if we ever get Unstop Hand Cannon back, just because of the way, explosive perks work with stuns and things like that, and then you combo that with Stunning Recovery. It's got some potential. So I was really expecting this to be a stasis weapon, but I think that it's come out with some decent combos and has a place amongst its stiff competition in that 140 slot. Next up, we've got a pulse rifle that is back in the game. Court, what can you tell us about Horror's Least?
Yeah, Horror's Least is a reduxed weapon from the Corrupted Strike. It used to be a strike-specific loot. It still sort of is, but for the Nightfalls, at least I think the schedule that I've been looking at, it's still going to drop when Grandmaster Corrupted drops. So it'll still be part of the Corrupted.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so, which is, I don't know. I'm not sure if people will be farming for this weapon. I'm trying to be as positive as possible, all right? But some of these weapons, I think.
Yeah, I didn't even think that DFA Strike is gone, right?
Yeah.
But Horror's Least is still in the game. Yeah, that's.
So Horror's Least is a arc rapid fire frame. That's a 540 RPM. The frame bonus here is deeper ammo reserves, slightly faster reload when the magazine is empty. Of course, can also toggle between stunning recovery, as Saint has described in the last weapon. Its stats are quite a bit all over the place here. I suppose its direct competition is Darkest Before, which still drops from the Prophecy Dungeon. Darkest Before has much better handling, which is 27, as opposed to Horror's Least, which is 22. And the recoil, Darkest Before has 64, as opposed to Horror's Least's 55. So it's quite, I think Darkest Before kind of beats it out in those regards. But compared to Horse Lease has just a very plus one stability. So it's kind of a mix and match here. Really, it's down to the perks, though. Both do have quite average perks. Horse Lease having only really Perpetual Motion and Heating Up in Column 3, and Frenzy in Column 4. Darkest Before has Subsistence and Overflow in Column 3, and Rampage and One for All in Column 4. Horse Lease maybe has the edge just because it's got inherently more, quotation, modern perks, but not by much. It has been, you know, revamped, but it's not been hasn't been given a bunch of perks I think we would have expected Horror's Lease to have got, as opposed to other weapons in its class. We have Peace of Mind, which is a kinetic from last season 16. Peace of Mind has very slightly weaker stats overall, but I think has a much better perk setup and synergy for PvE. I did actually break it down last season, season 16, and I do recall I recommended Stats for All and Adrenaline Junkie, which both Horror's Least and Darkest Before have in their perk pools. It pulls all these really good perks from both of those weapons, which Peace of Mind has. So it's really lacking compared to its peers. Just a little kind of shout out for its previous pseudo-unobtainable weapon right now. It's Grid Skipper, which is from Season of the Splicer last year, which I think would, if it was still available, freely available, Grid Skipper would have a much better edge over Horror's Least. So it's kind of all over the place here. For barrels here, I'm going to recommend Arrowhead Break, which would be a must for its recoil direction, just really tighten it up. And for magazine, is a tactical mag, or we have Flared Magwell, again, just to kind of really up the magazine stability and reload speed as well. For column 3, I'm going to recommend Perpetual Motion or Heating Up. For console players, we do have Zen Moment as well. Column 4, I do recall recommending Focused Fury for Peace of Mind last season, but I wasn't really seeing much benefit with it, so I'm going to sort of retract that recommendation. Just retrospectively retract Focus Fury, because it just doesn't quite work in on a rapid fire pulse rifle.
It sounds good. Like, you look at that combo on paper and it sounds good, and then you go use it and you're like,
why I recommended it initially. It sounds good and it looks good on paper, but once you take it out into the world where you've got, you know, Vex covering up their precision spots and Cabal having really small precision spot, it's very difficult to actually activate for a pulse rifle. It would be really good for a pulse rifle just because you've got a lot of rounds going down range, but unfortunately not. So as column 4, we've got Frenzy and we've got Vorpal Weapon here. Masterwork and Weapon Mod, entirely up to you. You know, you could maybe really tighten up the stability more by having a stability Masterwork, but you know, beggars can't be choosers here. You're going to find it really difficult to find the best perk setup plus a Masterwork, just with how you're going to farm it, especially in the Corrupted Nightfall. For mods, again, Counterbalance Stock is maybe your option, but I choose kind of spec mods over sort of supporting mods when it comes to pulse rifles. For a build, we're looking at Heating Up and Frenzy. Heating Up will also help, really help with the recoil direction, and Frenzy for that damage increase. So really just synergizing with each other. Final blows with Heating Up is going to tighten up the spread, tighten up the recoil direction to give you that opportunity to really put those damage rounds downrange. But again, overall, Horror's Least has arrived into a very competitive archetype. Rapid fire frames are still really good right now, and honestly, like, it's, again, I'm trying to be really positive when it comes to these to these weapon breakdowns. I think I would probably recommend Peace of Mind, to be honest, just with it being more easily craftable, easily curated to how you want to have it. Yeah, hopefully the next weapon, which Impetus is going to cover, he's going to have a lot more positivity when it comes to it.
Yeah, speaking of weapons that do not have a competitive class, we are going to be looking at Strident Whistle. This is just dropping from the Vanguard Ops playlist. This does not have access to the Stunning Recovery origin trait. This just has Vanguard's Vindication, which is our basic strike origin trait. This one will give you a small amount of health when you get a final blow with the weapon. That is 7 health on each kill, and it works everywhere. So it's fine. Definitely not bad, but it's no Stunning Recovery. So Strident Whistle, what is it? It is a Solar Precision Frame Bow. That is a base draw time of 648 milliseconds. It is a precision frame, so the frame bonus there is a longer draw time and more damage over the lightweight frame. So this is our only solar precision bow in the game that's currently obtainable. So again, not competitive at all. It stands alone. That's very, very nice. However, when we look at other precision frame bows in the game, there are some stats that do stand out, and not necessarily in a good way. So this does have 64 aim assist. That is the worst in the class, but it does have 74 accuracy, which is best in the class. So overall, it's just slightly worse than Accrued Redemption, which is our kinetic precision frame bow that is from the Garden of Salvation raid, in every category except accuracy. But again, that's a very small gap. It's about 4 points or so. So nothing terrible. Definitely go grab this weapon. Very useful. When we look at barrels and mags for bows, we'll start with barrels, so that's their strings. We want to look at elastic string for the draw time decrease. That's what we're really looking for, get that draw time as low as possible. In the magazine, we have fletchings. We want straight fletching to compensate for the loss in accuracy. That's going to really balance out the penalty to elastic string. And then when we get into the perks, this is where things get really fun. Again, this has a huge perk pool, but again, with several Vanguard rank resets, you have chances at more perks showing up in columns 3 and 4. In column 3, again, the one that's going to be the big one for bows, we've talked about it ad nauseum, Archer's Tempo. Just so great, old reliable. Draw time decreases after every precision hit. That is a decrease of 25% for 3 seconds. Bows really, really live and die by those rapid follow-up precision shots, and that is what Archer's Tempo enables you to do. When we look at damage perks, we've got a bunch of options here, a lot of exciting things. So Explosive Head is kind of the natural pairing, the jelly to Archer's Tempo's peanut butter, but we do also have Incandescent, which is a new solar perk that's going to synergize fantastically with your solar builds. Defeating a target spreads Scorch to those nearby. More powerful combatants and opposing guardians cause Scorch in a larger radius. Very, very useful if you are running a solar build. Now, this season we do not have champion bow mods, but they are a perennial favorite. They come back a lot of times. So when we do get that, I will imagine, especially for our Titan and Hunter friends who would be rocking a solar build in the end game, this could be very useful. So you've got Explosive Head, Incandescent. You've also got Adrenaline Junkie. That one definitely is kind of taken off in the PvP circles for some body shot bandit action. We've also got Dragonfly. That's very strong on bows. It's a more powerful explosion on bows. Dragonfly is affected by the type of weapon that it appears on, and bows do have a very high impact at base, so Dragonfly on a bow is stronger than Dragonfly on, say, other weapons. So a lot of different options in the damage column, in the final column. So really, I'm going to say if you can go for it, the role that I'm looking for is a multi-perk one. I'm looking for Archer's Tempo in column 3, and then I'd love to get both Incandescent and Explosive Head in column 4. I think that's going to be a really, really strong role. I think that's probably going to be, if I get that role to drop for me, I probably won't chase any other solar bows in the future, because that...
What do you call something that goes beyond a god role? Because I think
the
is
6 out of 5? Yeah.
Yeah, the 6 out of 5.
That's right what there. I'm chasing. Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely going to be strong for Solar 3.0. It's funny, because I think a lot of complaints with Horror's Least is the fact that we don't have an arc-specific damage perk, a weapon perk for legendary weapons. That could probably have been a great opportunity to differentiate it from the other rapid fire pulse rifles, but hasn't happened. It's coming. I'm sure it will happen. We've already got Repulsor Brace and Incandescent. Those are strong. Those both definitely have use cases. And especially on a bow, that is going to be very helpful for synergizing with all of your embers, your aspects, and then your grenades and melees if you are running a Solar 3.0 build for Strident Whistle. So that is our Vanguard Ops weapon. We have got one more weapon that we've saved for last, and unfortunately it's pretty least, isn't it, Saint?
It is. The name of our final weapon today is Deadweight, and it's really apt, you know? It has maybe some potential if, you know, the buffs landed right, but in its current state, it's not stellar. You know, it could be better, and that's just kind of a victim of its archetype. The Deadweight is the Gambit weapon for this season, which you can't focus at the moment, but kind of like we were mentioning earlier, some of these focusing systems, you know, have been coming to these playlists, and you should be able to focus this next season if you would like to do that. It is a ARC rapid fire 140 RPM shotgun, and it is a unique gun, but it is not great statistically speaking. Whenever we look at its range compared to something like the Iklos shotgun V1.1, which is probably a rapid fire most people are familiar with, it's been in the loot pool for a long time. It is still in the world loot pool. It has 28 range on Deadweight versus about 34 on Iklos. 64 reload speed, slightly beats out 61 on the Iklos, and then 37 handling versus 44 on Iklos. So it is the only ARC rapid fire in the game. Kind of middling stats compared to the other rapid fire archetypes. Not great, not terrible. Whenever we get into the barrels and mags, on the barrel side, the kind of like we were talking about at the very beginning of the episode, the range stat on this weapon is just not going to have very much of an impact. So I'm not going to push you towards cranking up your range or anything like that to put down the handling. If anything, you want better handling on this weapon. So not really concerned about anything like that. And maybe full choke if you're going to be pairing this with a 1-2 punch or something like that. But nothing really crazy there. No particular barrel really stands out. On the mag side, I would definitely recommend a Pended or Tac just for the overall mag increase. These rapid fire frame shotties are really meant to just dump ammo, and having an extra bullet in the mag always helps. Just a little extra damage. When we get our main traits here, there's tons, right? You know, all these playlist weapons have 12x12s and slots 3 and 4. On slot 3, there are some good, you know, just general PvE perks. You got Field Prep, Grave Robber, Perpetual Motion, Auto-Loading Holster, all great choices, especially, you know, you Auto-Loading Holster, you know, you pull this thing out, dump an entire magazine, put it away, kind of move on with yourself. In the fourth column, we've got Surrounded, Swashbuckler, Frenzy, and Golden Tricorn. This is the second shotgun, actually, thank you, Impetus, for the reminder on that one, that can roll with Golden Tricorn. The first was from the dungeon that we got just a couple seasons ago. The Matador can also roll with this. Now, this archetype does kind of lean into more DPS against champions and things like that. So if the rapid fires were at some point to get a buff, using this with Golden Tricorn, the right build, could potentially put out some damage if that were to happen, but we're getting a little hypothetical here. You know, on the masterwork side, I would say probably handling, because the handling is down at 37. So if you're not getting any kind of handling boost from your barrel or anything like that, it could be nice to throw on there. And in mod, I'm probably going to recommend a major spec on this, or a boss spec, just because you are going to be taking it out and then trying to burn down champs. For the overall build, I would probably go with a Field Prep and Golden Tricorn if I could pick anything, just because, like I said, Golden Tricorn, it does have that damage potential, right? And it can get up to 50%, and we are moving towards ARC 3.0 every week, so maybe, but not quite. On the other side, you could always go with something like Grave Robber and Swashbuckler, kind of classic shotgun combo there. Punch, get shots back, get a nice 30% damage buff. And then finally, we have Surrounded. Surrounded with Surrounded spec is quite a high damage buff. I believe It is edging out some of its competitors like Swashbuckler and Rampage stacked up and some things like that if you're going to be leaning into the spec. But again, Conhard proc. Would love to see Rapid Fires get a bit of a buff so that this thing could find its way into the PvE sandbox, Arc 3.0. But until that time, it really is hard to recommend a Rapid Fire shotgun, especially when you're comparing this to something like Riptide, our very first weapon of the episode. You know, I got a Riptide that can throw out a Vorpal weapon, an auto-loading holster, or a chill clip, and something like that is just so much more damage, so much more utility right now than something like Deadweight, which has such a low range that it is asking you to get up close, right? And the return on that is just not quite here at the moment. So potential, hopefully we see another shotgun buff in the future, but for now, it's tough to recommend Rapid Fires over your other special weapon options, or honestly, shotguns in general, despite some small changes that we've seen over the past couple of seasons.
I will say, like, Impetus made a really good point a few minutes there about some of these arc weapons, I think, would have really benefited with some synergy with Arc 3.0. Obviously, that's not possible right now. I think we've all wished to have that sort of arc perk right now, especially for, like, Wise and Rebuke, Deadweight, and Horror's Least. Bring them out from some really strong competitors, or, you know, in their respective frames that they just don't really, you know, they come dead on arrival, essentially, especially like something like Wise and Rebuke, which is probably the least mean I was to a specific weapon. That's out of the three that I covered today, that's maybe the best one, but they're still, you know, they're all kind of really lacking. But yeah, an arc perk would have been very satisfying to use if had these weapons had came out next season when we would have got Arc 3.0 or the season after.
Yep.
You know, again, we're looking at DFA and I'm like, okay, well, at least DFA has a new perk combo. It has something unique, right? And again, that's like, what is it doing that hasn't been done before? And that's another reason why we're always bringing up, you know, how does it compare to best in slot, so to say, and all that stuff. But that's all we have for today. That is all of our new weapons. Thank you for joining us for another episode of PvE, episode 20, which is kind of wild that we're on episode 20 already. Thank you to our audio engineer, Mr. Sutton, for making us sound great each and every week. Always appreciate you. I have been Saint Kabir. You can find me by that name on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Discord, or in the game. Impetus, where can our listeners find you?
My name is Impetus. You can find me by that name on Discord and in Destiny, and as Impetus always on Twitter and Twitch. Court, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as @CourtProjects, and you can also find me in the Massive Breakdowns Discord server or on Discord in general as just Court. And you can find my spreadsheets on the Massive Breakdown website. We'll just say, as I said at the top of the episode today, that my spreadsheets aren't going away. They are staying. They're just being really scaled back. I do want to sort of
refined, you could say.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Yes, refined is definitely the word to use here.
Elevated. Yes.
Perfected, spreadsheet shall adept. We say.
Yeah.
I do want to sort of give a personal shout out to everyone that's visited my spreadsheets. There's going to be a lot of changes over the next couple of weeks and months, but some really cool, seeing websites and applications like DIM or D2 Gunsmith or Light.gg, all these really fantastic websites now utilizing some of the stuff that was in my spreadsheets and other spreadsheets as well. Speaking of which, you can find all of those, many applications, many spreadsheets, all those really cool community sourced information, community, lovely things on the Massive Breakdowns website as well. And we're going to end the episode here. Thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll see you in the next one.